Tristan Tia could really change everything for Auburn at quarterback.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. The storyline around Tristan Tia this spring and leading into the A-Day game, and then the results thereof have really could really change the way this whole quarterback situation plays out at Auburn under Golish. We're going to break that down. We're going to talk about a similar storyline with some other young guys that were brought in that seemed to be hits. Let's call them hits as far as landing good talent out of the portal. And then two big basketball additions yesterday. We're going to talk about those as well. But let's jump right into it. Look, this is kind of piggybacking off of yesterday's conversation around quarterbacks and how this thing could play out in the future and when you need to bring in a high school quarterback and how that works and so on and so forth. I'm going to be honest, and I've said this on previous shows, I had zero expectations. And this may be on me. As far as what Tristan Tia could potentially be at Auburn. He did start his last three games at Oregon State last year as a true freshman, so he's a redshirt freshman quarterback. Lot of time left, but I just didn't have a ton of expectations. Like, and when I say that, obviously I'm not talking about this year because, you know, Byron Brown's the guy. But it's beyond this year. Was he just sort of an insurance plan should Byron Brown get injured? And, you know, you got somebody that's got a little bit of experience that can step in and maybe clearly not have give you the same production that you would get from Byron Brown, but maybe just, you know, salvage something if there's an injury. And then what do you do after that? Do you go to the portal? You know, do you sign a high school guy that's like one of the top guys and you turn the reins over to him? I just didn't really have a lot of expectations as far as like him being the future. But this isn't just because of the A-Day game, which he was phenomenal, by the way. It was clear when he got here. Let me back up. When he got here, the storyline was around who would be the battle for QB2 between he and Lachlan Hewlett. You know, that was one of the spring storylines that we're going to watch. And very quickly, the storyline around QB2 changed, because it was not Tristan Tia versus Lachlan Hewlett anymore. Tristan Tia was the number two guy. Like, it was very, very clear. You could see it when he throws the ball. You could see it in the reps that they take. You could see it play out in A-Day. There was no question anymore who was the number two guy. That guy was Tristan Tia. Now the storyline is, can Tristan Tia be the future? Can Tristan Tia be the guy in year two? And he, up to this point, has done a phenomenal job of writing that story. He's been, I think, maybe not a surprise to, you know, the coaching staff and the people that evaluate him, but I mean, I'm sure you're just as surprised as I am, you know, folks listening in the chat, whatever. I mean, he legitimately could be your starting quarterback in 2027. It's going to be, I mean, the A-Day game, you're 15 of 20. You're just so incredibly efficient. 75% of your passes, threw the only touchdown. I did throw the one bad interception, but other than that, like, I mean, just flawless. Now you're talking about what does that look like this season? Like, if he's a guy you feel like you can invest in, if he's the guy you feel like you could roll with in year two, what do his reps look like in games? Now, a lot of that is situational. Like, we understand you got to get leads to put a backup quarterback in. It ain't like in a two-score game you can just say, okay, we're going to give you a couple of drives. No, it's still a backup situation. Like, you're still – we're not rotating drives. We're not playing a half and then switching. You know, you still got to have the games in hand to put a backup in. But you could be a little bit more intentional about, you know, what type of opportunities you give them when they actually get those shots. Because you guys know as well as I do, we've seen in the past, and again, this is PTSD, and, you know, it is what it is. But when you put a backup in, it becomes what? It's handoff practice. You know, we're turning around, we're handing it off, and we're grinding clock trying to get out of here. When you got a young guy like this that could possibly be the dude that's taking over the next year, and he's got, you know, at worst 1 year, which would be phenomenal, because that would mean he has such an electric year that he's an NFL draft prospect. But you may have, you know, 2 to 3 years out of him if he's just a solid quarterback. So you got to be a little bit more intentional of giving him more of the offense when he actually goes in there, so that he can continue to develop, continue to like progress on this trend that he's on to potentially being the guy. And also, it really changes the outlook of like how you manage the position behind him. Okay. And what do I mean by that? Based off yesterday's show, it does still feel like, I think he's announcing today. So by the time you are watching this, he may have already announced Mitchell, your top quarterback target, you know, trending towards Oregon. If that's the case, if Tristan is the guy next year, it doesn't necessarily make this year's quarterback that important. It honestly would make it a little bit tough to probably retain that guy, especially if Tia plays multiple years. So you really can kind of shift your focus to the 2028 class. Because think about it. Let's say we dive all the way in on a 2028 quarterback. Okay, so when Tristan Tia starts his – let's say he starts next year in 2027, okay – and then he goes into 2028. Your 2028 quarterback will be a true freshman. That'll give Tristan 2 years of playing time. And then it'll give your 2028 quarterback 1 year to kind of sit and watch. Then if he's good enough, you know, after 2 years, you're probably looking at NFL after that, because that would have put him in college for at least 4 years. Now you have a sophomore quarterback. You have a sophomore 2028 high school kid stud that's going in as a true sophomore that you can maybe hand the reins off to. It really does kind of open up a lot more potential stability if Tristan Tia is the guy. So this could be one of the biggest developments really of spring if you think about it. Because if he's just a placeholder, you know, then more than likely next year you're going to have to go into the portal again, and then you're going to have to sell, and you're going to have to keep sort of mixing and matching until you hit that perfect little ladder of couple of years separation between like high school guy and guy 2 years ahead of him. Boom, 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 so on and so forth. And you have to hit on all those too. So this would be big. I really do think this is one of the more intriguing storylines really, really of all spring. So I'm fired up about his potential, him continuing to grow in this system. It felt like a vet, man. He looked like a guy that just knew where the ball needed to be. And he got it there quickly. So that's going to be really, really fun to watch. Now, there's a couple of other guys that I think it's a very, very similar storyline. And we're going to talk about two other ones, and then we're going to talk basketball here in just a second. But before we do that, I want to give a shout-out to PayZoom. Call Nate Ralston, 251-648-7580. If you have a business and that business takes credit card payments, you need to have someone you can trust processing those payments. And why not have a guy that's an Auburn guy, number one? We've been talking about by Auburn. And one that you can pick up the phone and call to make sure you're taking advantage of all of the different discounts that these credit card companies give. Who would you even call if you wanted to find that out right now with your current company? You got to get on a call a call center. Do you have a contact? Man, you could have a guy that just lives right here in Alabama that you could give a shout. Local Alabama company, been in business over 20 years, no rate increases, no early termination fees. It's PayZoom. And then just to kind of couple that theme, buy Auburn, man. Nate's an Auburn guy. Do business with Auburn people. Go to buyauburn.com. We're adding new businesses every single day. Got a couple more applications yesterday. This thing's growing, man. If you want your business to be a part of it, you can list it. It's less than a dollar a day. And then if you're looking for services and you want to do business with Auburn people, we got a little bit of everything right now, and it's going to continue to grow. So definitely check it out. It's buyauburn.com. We'll be back right after this. I want to stick with this theme of young guys that you hit on or seemingly hit on that really it's like winning the lottery. It changes the plans moving forward, okay? And one of them, other than obviously Tristan that we just talked about, another one is Gavin Jenkins. And we can't stop talking enough about this kid. It feels like absolutely won the lottery with a guy like Gavin Jenkins, who's a red shirt freshman, okay? Another guy that's super young that has a lot of years left, okay? It's a very similar storyline as Tristan. It's like a guy of all of the South Florida guys, of all the South Florida, what is it, 13 of them or however many, all of the South Florida guys that you brought in, I would say Gavin Jenkins was the least heralded of any of them, okay? Think about this. When you're bringing in South Florida guys, what are you thinking? You're thinking offense. Yeah, we'll take the offensive guys. Dadgum, man, they were the number whatever, top five offense in the country last year. Yeah, let's go get some of the best ones that they had. Surely, you know, they'll translate, they'll be good here, and so far they have. You didn't think much about bringing a defensive guy from South Florida. You know, that they weren't that great on defense. Not only that, but a guy that didn't really play that much at all last year. I think he played in three games, which obviously kept him to be a red shirt. He had a couple tackles. No, nothing spectacular. Played against South Carolina State, Florida Atlantic, Rice, when they just beat the tar out of Rice 52-3. You know, nothing proven. No production you could point to. I mean, I can't think of anyone less heralded of those South Florida guys than Gavin Jenkins. And he comes in, and I'll be danged if every time you look out there, he's in the starting group. Every time they run 11 people out there on defense, he's the starting guy. You look at A-Day. They run the starting lineup out there. He's the starter. Now, they held Rayshon Pleasant out. But even when Rayshon Pleasant's healthy, it still feels like Gavin may be ahead of him. He's got phenomenal size as a corner. He's 6'2", like easily 200 pounds. And does anybody remember any big plays? Like, do you remember him from A-Day? And that is it's the opposite of what you would think when you're hoping for a standout when you're talking about a cornerback. You don't want to remember a corner. You don't want to say, man, I remember 21, he got toasted several times. That's really the only time you typically remember a defensive back, unless they, you know, get an interception. And interceptions from corners, you know, so they're hit or miss. I feel like your safeties, you know, stuff like that are the ones that, because they're sort of reading the quarterback's eyes, and their corners are typically kind of glued to the receiver, so it's a little bit tougher for them to pick them off. But, yeah, it feels like he's the guy. He could be your starter opposite Andre Jordan going into the year. And, hey, lottery, Powerball, Mega Millions, that's what that feels like. A freshman that's probably on a pretty substantial discount this year. You get fantastic production, and then you have potentially two more seasons out of him. One at worst, and that, because that would be his third year, and if he has two phenomenal years at corner, a very sought-after position, you know, he could potentially go into the NFL. But, I mean, more than likely, you're going to have three good years out of it. That's like winning the lottery. That's awesome. You know, he's got the loyalty built in with his head coach, that it's going to make it easier for that retention piece year after year. So if he continues to progress, bam, man, you won, you hit it big. Derek Plaids is another one. It's not as, it's still big, because again, how often do we just roll over offensive linemen? Like, it feels like it's a new offensive line every single year they go out there. But it's another young guy that he'll be a redshirt sophomore, but he's been steady ever since he's gotten here. And regardless, you should get multiple years out of him. If you're successful, and, you know, I know probably some people will come calling. He's from Miami, so is there, you know, that 100% loyalty piece to, you know, to Golish? I don't know. Maybe because he gave him a shot when he didn't have a shot at Miami. Regardless, you stand a chance. Another guy that you probably got on a very substantial discount, another guy that you could potentially get multiple years out of, that is invaluable in college football today. When you're getting a ton of one and dones, it's a big deal to get guys that are young, that you evaluated, you nailed, and then you may get multiple years out of. So good stuff from those guys out of spring so far. I want to switch gears really quick and talk about basketball. Auburn added two yesterday. Added two guys yesterday. First off, early in the morning. I say early. It was more like, I don't know, a little bit before 9 a.m. yesterday, you added Owen Freeman, the 6'10". I don't know if you want to call him power forward. I don't know if you want to call him like a true big man. He came from here from Creighton, but before he went to Creighton, he spent 2 years at Iowa. And at Iowa, he was really good. Really, really good. He was freshman all Big Ten. I'm sorry. No, not freshman all Big Ten. I'm sure he was that too. He was freshman of the year in the Big Ten. Averaging that year, he was what? He was, let's see. He averaged 10 points a game and 6 rebounds. And then fast forward to the next year, rebounds stayed the same. He averaged 16 points a game. He only played in 19 games. Had a really bad finger injury, kind of freakish, I think, and had to have surgery on it, and then transferred. I think they ended up firing their coach that year, so he transferred and had a knee, some kind of meniscus injury in between there and playing at Creighton, and never really got back into shape fully. And then last year, I know you're going to go look at his last year box score, and you're going to be like, dang, he only played 11 minutes a game. And doesn't look like he's much more than, you know, a guy that can score in the paint. And the second part may be true. He may be more of a big man, a more traditional big man or power forward. But what you're hoping is you get back to that play in shape in 2024-2025 or 2023-24. So intriguing guy, big, another big man, 6'10". I mean, Auburn's got some size going into next year. You got 3 7-footers and a 6'10 guy. And then you added a – this one could be fun. This one could be fun. Thomas Dowd from Troy. He was all Sun Belt first team last year, averaged 14-10. He's 6'8", 225 from Dothan. I'm curious where he plays. I'm curious to see what position he plays because I think he's athletic enough to offensively play the three. Defensively, though, that's where it could be interesting. So I don't know if he's going to be a three. I don't know if he's going to be a four. I don't know if he's going to moonlight between the two. Decent three-point shooter at 6'8", shot right at, 33% from three last year. Really good from the free throw line, 80% there. And again, 10 boards a game, 14 points, couple of assists. They really brag on his passing and the attention that he would draw and then be able to dish out. So that's something that could be fun to watch. Just a scrappy dude that's played a lot of basketball, and he can score. Defense is what I'm going to be interested to see. It does say he averaged a steal and a block a game last year, a little bit over that actually. So, maybe he's got a little bit more in the tank than you think. So two big additions yesterday. I don't think they're done. Sway, you saw Sway actually, even though he said he's coming back, he's like, psych, I'm going into the portal. And it wasn't shocking when you saw, I think, when Thomas committed, it was very shortly after that Sway said he was going into the portal. So that leaves, I guess, Auburn with four spots. So you got four spots left. You need to get some shooters, another point guard. Still some work to be done. So we'll see what happens there. Guys, I really appreciate you listening. Let me know what you think about the Tristan Tia situation. Let me know what you think about some of those young guys from the portal. Did I miss anybody? Let me know if I missed anybody. Well, if I missed them, we'll do a show about them. How about that? Thanks, guys. Y'all have a great rest of the day. We'll talk again soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.